This is Audible.
Eden's Gate, The Reborn, a lit RPG adventure. Written by Edward Brody. Read for you by Pavi Prochka.
Chapter 1. Release Day, Earth.
You're on in 5 minutes,
a petite woman dressed in a sleek black skirt suit said.
Thanks, Kendra,
Dr. Rupert Winston replied. He waved a dismissive hand and she disappeared behind his dressing room door. He let out an audible sigh as he savored the last few minutes that he would enjoy inside the tiny room. One of the last few minutes that he'd enjoy on this world, even if everything went to plan. He stood from his dressing room chair and combed back what was left of his thinning gray hair. He straightened his black turtleneck and made sure it was neatly tucked deep inside his matching black slacks. If Steve Jobs could see him now, he wondered. If the Bitcoin inventors, smartphone giants, and VR pioneers had any idea how far things would come in a few short decades. He swallowed hard as he stared at himself in the mirror, and for a brief moment, he wrestled with the decision he was about to make. He could still turn back. A part of him told him that it was wrong, immoral, maybe even sinister to do what he was about to do. But another part of him danced with joy at the gift that he was about to unleash. He shook his head from side to side and smiled, brushing away his fleeting doubts. It was a gift, indeed. A world, a new world, that was far superior to the one that he was standing in. No one would understand it now, but eventually they'd come around and see why he had to do things this way. His watch beeped a high-pitched sound a few times, signaling that his time was up, and he reached for the door and stepped outside. Production staff lined the hallway leading to the stage, all staring hard at him, waiting for any last-minute instructions. None came as he passed them without saying a word. His assistant VP, Aaron, a small man wearing a white dress shirt and glasses, was already standing at the center of his stage, with his hands behind his back.
Please welcome the CEO and founder of Nexicon Inc., Dr. Rupert Winston.
Dr. Winston raised his hand high in the air as he stepped onto the brightly lit stage, and the crowd of thousands stood from their seats and cheered. The spotlights followed Rupert's every move as he crossed to take the other man's position, and behind him was a large glass monitor that covered the entire wall. In the center of the display was the Nexicon logo, a pear with a cute worm dangling out of its side.
Thank you, he said as he waved his hand in a downward motion, trying to get everyone to settle down and sit back in their chairs. He smiled and repeated it a few times until the room grew silent and everyone gave their full attention.
Rupert folded his hands together and pushed his knuckles up under his chin. He frowned and looked to the ground before asking,
"What is life?"
His words caught his hidden mic and echoed through the venue. He let go of his hands and pinched himself.
"If you can feel pain, is that life? If you can love, hate, smell, and taste, is that life? If you can see, hear, feel, and even kill, is that life?"
He tilted his head to the side, smirked, and nodded lightly.
"I think so."
The crowd was wide-eyed and glued to his every word.
"Ladies and gentlemen, I give you life. I give you Eden's Gate."
Dr. Winston stepped sideways and motioned his hand toward the monitor. The Nexicon logo disappeared, and adventurous music roared through the building. The screen flashed to the bird's-eye image of a lush land with dense foliage, tall hills, and a raging river. The camera panned forward, then spun around, revealing a pale, human-like creature running out of the jungle and jumping off a cliff and into a pool of water below. The image flashed to a man standing in a dark room, pounding a hammer across the hot iron of a blade.
"Be anyone. Do anything," Rupert said, his voice deep, harsh.
The image switched to a barren desert view, then to an image of a large wooden ship lumbering through the ocean, then to a land frozen over by ice, burly wolves running through the snow. A creature flew by on what appeared to be a giant eagle.
Go anywhere.
The screen went black, and the sound of steel piercing flesh rippled through the speakers. An image of a hand pulling a sword from a fallen body appeared. The hand twisted the sword as if the person holding it off screen was inspecting the blood. But then there was a rattling explosion, and the body of the hand flew forward and erupted in strange blue-hued flames. And slowly, so did the rest of the image. In the middle of the flames, the words, Eden's Gate, appeared, and the music faded off into silence.
Carve your destiny. Kick some ass. Live a new life, however you see fit.
The crowd practically leapt out of their chairs as they started clapping and cheering at the display. Dr. Winston raised his fist and spoke loudly over the cheers.
Today, we celebrate the launch of the first fully immersive, full-world, virtual MMO. This is unlike anything you've ever experienced before.
He walked across the stage and gestured with his hands as he spoke.
You will feel everything you touch, taste everything you eat. You'll grow in expertise, gather loot, and experience magic like you've only dreamed. Your full consciousness will actually live inside of Eden's Gate.
The cheering started to die down as people listened, many of them practically salivating at the mouth for more. Dr. Winston waved his hand back to the display, and the burning image was replaced with a large 5,300,670 on a black background that was increasing each second. 5,300,788. 5,300,801.
This is only day one, and already we have over 5 million people logged in, starting their journey in this new, incredible world.
Rupert smirked.
I expect after today, that number will only increase.
If only they knew.
How big is the game exactly?
A reporter near the front yelled out at him. Dr. Winston seemed startled by the sudden question, but let the interruption slide, since he was about to begin the Q&A segment anyway.
Eden's Gate is roughly 10 times the size of Earth. There's so much content that it would take multiple lifetimes to explore the entire game.
He was hesitant to call his creation a game. It was far, far more than that.
This technology, which takes over your consciousness, how do we know it's safe?
Another reporter asked.
I guess you'll have to trust me on that one.
He swallowed hard and smiled.
Game? Safe?
Maybe a Q&A segment wasn't the best idea.
I think we should just go ahead and get to the demonstration.
One of the production staff wheeled out a rolling bed, and resting on top of the bed was one of Nexicon's patented VR machines, designed to work exclusively with Eden's Gate. Dr. Winston's assistant VP came back on stage and started up a laptop that he placed on a nearby pedestal and sat down on a stool. The doctor lifted the VR machine, a thick white and gold front visor with a black strap to wrap around the back of the head.
There are no screens inside our machine. When you place the Nexicon VR system on your head, a gentle laser is beamed into your retina, and pulse neurowaves send and receive data from your brain. Once inside, you will be fully immersed. Fully, he stressed.
He took a deep breath and raised his finger to Aaron. He had trusted him with more knowledge about Nexicon's properties than anyone else, but not even he knew what was about to happen. Aaron had only been instructed to launch the demo mode of the game so everyone could watch Dr. Winston play his character in Eden's Gate. But he had no idea that Dr. Winston had programmed demo mode to kill off everyone currently logged into the game, along with Dr. Winston himself. It had been Dr. Winston's life work to create a true virtual reality, and after decades of laboring, He had finally realized his dream when he completed Eden's Gate. But Eden's Gate exceeded his expectations, turned out so lifelike, so much realer than he ever imagined. He couldn't just let it be a game. It should be respected as a real world, he thought. A place that people could go and truly live their lives. And the only way to keep the game as real as possible was to close any and all exit paths. If people could just log in and log out, it would always be a simple escape fantasy. The 5 million plus people who were already logged in weren't really dying, he thought. They were just coming over to another plane of existence, a better one even, immortalized. And with that many people consciously living in Eden's Gate, who would ever dare to try turning it off? Essentially, it would go on forever. He would go on forever. Dr. Winston climbed onto the bed and placed the machine on his head. "Now I'm going to log in," he said loudly to the crowd. His heart was racing. He was sure that he would be safe once his consciousness was transported to Eden's Gate. But his body hadn't ever died before, at least not on Earth. The idea that something could go wrong was a bit frightening, even to him. There was always the possibility he'd made a miscalculation. He lowered his head on the pillow, took a deep breath, and swallowed his worries before powering the VR headset on. A red light flashed across the top of the visor, and the laser shot into Dr. Winston's eye. Immediately, he felt disconnected from his frame of existence. His body lay immobile. Aaron glanced over to the bed, and when the red light flashing across the top of Dr. Winston's visor turned green, he looked up at the crowd. "Looks like he's already in," he said stridently. "Since the Nexicon VR is designed solely to work with Eden's Gate, the transfer into the virtual world is extremely quick." He looked back down at his computer and keyed in the sequence to launch demo mode. There was a loud zwerp sound that buzzed out of the doctor's visor, and his body flinched violently. Suddenly, the visor powered down, and Dr. Winston's body lay there with his arm dangling like a wet noodle. "Whoa, whoa, whoa," Aaron said, and his stool tipped over as he shot to his feet. His face twisted in confusion as he looked back to the monitor behind him. It was completely black, and despite the visor being off, Dr. Winston wasn't moving at all. Two of the production assistants rushed out on the stage while Aaron pulled the visor off and started testing Dr. Winston's vitals. The crowd was standing wide-eyed, whispering, some grabbing their chest in panic. "Medic! We need a medic!" Aaron yelled. Before anything else could happen, the panel on the wall suddenly lit up, and standing there on the screen was Dr. Winston himself. He wasn't wearing a turtleneck anymore, but instead wore a long brown robe. He was standing on the balcony of what may have been a castle, and behind him were two large double doors, and a room filled with a desk and bookshelves filled with hundreds, if not thousands, of books. His face was practically the same, but he looked a little younger, and his hair was thicker and had lost most of its gray. The whole venue immediately went silent and stared at the inconceivable visage. "Well, there you have it," Dr. Winston said. "I suppose today marks me as the biggest mass murderer in Earth's history." He sighed nonchalantly. "To cut a long story short, everyone who was plugged into Eden's Gate is now, or should be, dead. At least in the traditional sense, they're dead. Their consciousness lives on, in Eden's Gate. And in many ways, I have made them immortal." There was a pause of a few seconds, in which the venue erupted in chatter, some chuckling, assuming it was a silly launch day gimmick, and some audibly holding their breath. But everyone quieted again when the doctor spoke. "More than 5 million people didn't have a choice, but now you do. Throw on a Nexicon VR, and you too can live your life in Eden's Gate. No more 9-to-5s and overpriced mortgages.
No more Democrats and Republicans. No more bullshit. A new magical world where your life has an unlimited number of paths. A world larger and more exciting than Earth could ever be. But just be aware that you can't turn back.
The doctor smiled one last time.
Good luck.
The screen went black, and Dr. Rupert Winston's body still lay there on the bed, unmoving.
Is this some sort of publicity stunt?
One of the reporters yelled out. Aaron just shook his head in confusion and turned back toward his computer, trying to figure out what was going on. One of the production staffers dialed 911 while Kendra, second only to Aaron at Nexicon, rushed to Aaron's side.
What the fuck is this? Millions of people around the world are watching this keynote.
I don't know, he replied.
Kendra looked up to the guests. People had their phones out and were making calls. Some were taking videos of the scene. The chatter was growing almost deafening.
Well, can you fix it? Whatever this is, I mean? He's not really in there, right?
Aaron shook his head as he pulled up the Eden's Gate code. A dizzying string of letters, numbers, and symbols fell across the screen.
It looks like he's encrypted all the source code without telling anyone. I can't do anything. I wouldn't even know what to do if I could.
You're telling me you can't do anything?
Aaron launched the administration terminal and was prompted for a passcode.
No one can do anything without Dr. Winston's password.
Aaron swallowed and pulled up the server stats. 5,312,372 people were shown as logged in, and that number wasn't changing anymore.
Oh my God,
Kendra muttered and stared at the number with a slack jaw.
What in the hell has he done?
Chapter 2. Release Day, Earth.
Oh my God! I screamed. Are you fucking kidding me?
I tore my headphones off and rubbed my fingers through my short, tangled brown hair as I looked at the giant defeat staring back at me on my computer screen. I had been playing Battle League, a multiplayer online battle arena, and finished the game with 20 kills and 2 deaths. Yet my team of 5 other random people still managed to make me lose. Gigi, one of my teammates, wrote in the after-battle chat. I leaned over towards my mic. Yeah, good fucking game, deadweights. I couldn't carry you if I tried. I heard the scuffling of someone else's mic.
Fuck you, asshole. We lost because you were too busy trying to solo the whole fucking match.
Knock, knock, knock. I shook my head and quickly closed out of Battle League. Idiots. I had enough of dealing with the toxic players in that game for a day, even if someone hadn't just knocked on my door.
Just a minute, I yelled.
I grabbed the crutch leaning against my computer desk and snugged it up under my left armpit as I stood from my chair. It had been about a week since Matt Finley, my co-worker at Best Foods, decided that it would be a good idea to drop a tall pallet of canned food on my foot while I was stocking the end of an aisle. He claimed he didn't see me, of course. An entire 5'10" and 155-pound human being gone unseen in a brightly lit supermarket. I don't know how that could happen, but then again, I was used to going unnoticed. My dad bounced when I was young. Who knows where that asshole went? And my mom was in and out of drug rehab, leaving me to be raised by my widowed grandma. Grans was already in the early stages of dementia when I moved in with her, and shortly after my 18th birthday, she had to be moved into a caretaking facility and couldn't even recognize me anymore. School, same story. I had a pretty decent run right up until high school, but those last 4 years, I could have been a ghost. I was never invited to parties, never asked to hang out after class. And when there was a group assignment, my anxiety ran high because I was most likely to be the one left without a group. If invisibility were a skill, I was pretty damn good at it. But hey, no big deal. I didn't spend my nights crying myself to sleep over the shitty hand I was dealt.
After high school, I buckled down, got my own place, and a job at the local food store, where I had been working for the past 3 years. It paid the bills, and I made a few acquaintances who were good for a nice talk during our lunch break. I wouldn't consider them friends, but for the most part, I liked keeping to myself anyway. Gaming was my passion, and I would rather stay at home going on a dungeon crawl or working on my rank in arena-based games. I reached for the doorknob of my tiny studio apartment, thinking that it was probably my annoying landlord stopping by, as he did every week, to check and make sure the fire detector was working, when, in reality, he just wanted to make sure I hadn't damaged anything inside his property. As if his 100-square-foot box was worth anything.
Hey, babe.
A pair of shiny blue eyes and a bright smile beamed at me when I opened the door.
Rachel?
I limped forward and pulled her into a hug with my one free arm. While we stood there, locked together in the doorway, I looked up and saw a tiny spider building a web right above the entryway, which caused me to jerk back erratically and almost lose balance on my crutch.
What is it?
Rachel asked with wide, worried eyes.
A fucking spider behind you.
Rachel turned and looked up at the tiny creature.
It's just a fucking baby.
Blech. I spat and shook my body in disgust. I wasn't afraid of much of anything in the world, but spiders were my bane. I didn't want to see or have a spider of any size or shape anywhere near me.
Why didn't you call?
I wanted to surprise you, she said.
Did I say I liked keeping to myself?
That was true, except when I was spending time with my girlfriend. I had met Rachel about 6 months earlier via an online gaming forum, and as we got to talking, I found out that she lived less than a 10-minute drive from me. I'm not sure what she saw in me. I wasn't exactly a ladies' man, and if anything, she was out of my league. But within a month, we had met up and started dating. So at least I had one good thing going for me. I limped aside and eyed a large, heavy-looking brown bag she was carrying as she made her way inside my room. What's in the bag?
I told you, it's a surprise.
She pushed a piece of her long, sandy blonde hair back behind her ear and sat down on my bed. She had a nice frame, not too skinny and not too thick, and her 5-foot-4-inch stature was a perfect fit for me, if you know what I mean.
How's your foot?
It's still pretty achy, I said. I limped closer to her and used my crutch to point towards her bag.
Don't leave me hanging.
She rolled her eyes and lifted the bag.
Okay, well, I thought this might cheer you up while you were recovering.
As soon as she slid the first brown box out of the bag, I noticed the Nexicon logo immediately.
You're kidding me, right?
One for me,
she cooed, pulling out a second matching box.
And one for you.
I dropped my crutch and hopped as fast as I could to sit on the bed beside her. I picked up one of the Nexicon boxes and stared in awe at the pear-slash-worm etching on the front.
You got 2 on launch day? These are over $1,000 apiece. How did you?
I had a little bit of savings, and I knew your money was tight.
She poked her index finger in my shoulder.
Plus, you're always going on and on about how Eden's Gate is the next big step in gaming.
You have no fucking idea. I had been following Eden's Gate since the hype broke online about 3 years earlier. The Nexicon CEO had written a blog post that he was working on a virtual MMO that would change our perception of gaming forever. A game in which the user's consciousness would somehow communicate with the game world and provide a lifelike experience. No screenshots or videos of the game were ever released, but no one had any right to doubt him. Hardware that Nexicon released was always cutting edge, and their software always blew away the competition. People would buy a shitmobile if it had the Nexicon logo on it. Then there was a leaker who broke the Eden's Gate NDA, non-disclosure agreement. A beta tester who went by the name Dark Knight 35. He wrote in a Reddit post about his experience during testing and claimed that he felt like he was really in the game, that NPCs, non-player characters, looked and acted like real people, and that it was the best gaming experience he had ever had, even though they wouldn't allow him past the tutorial section. His post was deleted within hours, and the guy was never heard from again. But that was enough to fuel whole online communities of people speculating what the Nexicon VR could really do. The only official facts released by Nexicon VR were that it was preloaded with a fantasy MMO with a world larger than Earth. And the name, of course, Eden's Gate. She shoved me hard in the shoulder and smirked.
I know just as much about it as you.
I smiled, sat the box down, and pulled her into a huge hug.
You're the best. This is too much.
She pulled away from the hug and pointed a finger at my nose.
We're doing this on one condition, okay?
Yeah? I lifted an eyebrow.
As soon as your foot is better, I want you to get out of your room. Go out and make some real friends. We can go together, even.
I huffed and rolled my eyes.
This again? I told you that you're all I need. What do you want me to do?
Be one of those guys who sits in a bar all day watching sports, scratching his nuts and talking about car parts with other nut scratchers? I'm not into all of that.
Gunner, it's just not normal to stay in your room all day playing games. You're missing out on a lot of...
Normal is a subjective word. I have no interest in being like everyone else, I interrupted. You knew who I was when you met me. Rachel sighed.
Just try. All I'm asking is for you to give it a chance. People aren't so bad if you give them a chance.
I pursed my lips together and frowned, thinking of all the times when people let me down. I was perfectly happy doing things on my own and being a lone wolf.
I just bought you a Nexicon VR, and you're brooding over me asking you a little favor?
She made a cute, kissy face and started talking to me in a baby voice.
Just one little favor.
She had a point. It was one hell of a gift. I would have never been able to afford a Nexicon VR on my best food salary. I owed her big time. Fine, fine, I said with a slight nod. She threw an arm around my neck and kissed me on the cheek.
Thanks, babe. Now, let's see what this Eden thing is all about.
I could hardly contain my excitement as we started unboxing the Nexicon headsets. You know, I read everyone spawns in a random place, right? Even if we both log in together, we could be thousands of miles apart. Rachel threw a piece of styrofoam from the box aside and shrugged.
I know, but we'll figure it out. When we log out, we'll compare notes and start working our way towards each other next time we log in.
I lifted the thick white visor from its box and turned it on each side, admiring the gold etching and high-quality craftsmanship. On the edge were two buttons, battery and power. I clicked the battery button and the visor lit up, showing a full bar of green.
This is awesome. I can't believe we get to play on launch day.
Just holding such an incredible piece of technology in my hands made my heart race. There was a small piece of paper inside of the box. Warning. Place the visor over your head and power it on only when you are in a secure and safe area. Your body will be in an unresponsive state until you are completely logged out of the system. Use at your own risk. Rachel dropped her box and placed her headset over her head, working hard to make sure her strap was adjusted properly.
Come on, she said. Let's get in, let's get in.
She scooted to the far side of my bed and lay down as I placed my visor on my head and slid in beside her. With the power off, there was nothing but dark inside the Nexicon VR. I've got my visor on. You ready? Her hand reached over and grabbed onto mine.
I'm ready. One?
I placed my hand on the power button, waited for her to finish counting down.
Two?
Wait, I shouted.
Yeah?
How long should we play till we log out? I don't want you doing anything weird to me while I'm in game. Rachel giggled.
Let's say half an hour for our first run.
All right. I squeezed her hand tighter.
Three.
I pressed the power button, and white light flashed in front of my eyes, then black. Within a second, I could no longer feel Rachel's hand. Chapter 3. Month 1, Day 1, Year 1. Welcome to your new life. Welcome to Eden's Gate.
I felt weightless as I watched the introduction screen flash before my eyes, and I sensed a prickly sensation as each part of my body slowly became tangible. The darkness slowly began to dissolve, and I blinked, and then again until I could see everything around me. I was standing on a ground made of broken cobblestone and grass. Directly in front of me was a stone fence with an open arched gate that appeared to lead off to a long dirt path and a forest far into the distance. I looked down to my hands and squeezed them tightly, then relaxed them. They looked exactly like my real hands. In fact, I couldn't tell the difference, no matter how hard I tried. I was wearing a pair of black cotton pants that stopped at the knee, brown woven shoes, and a white cotton vest that was cut off at the shoulders. My crutch was missing, and my foot was no longer broken, but otherwise my body felt exactly the same. I looked like the fashion police was about to arrest me at any moment, but I felt healthier than I had my entire life. I took a deep breath and the air was light and pure. Birds were chirping in the distance. I really was in another world.
"Look lively," a husky voice shouted from behind me.
I whipped myself around and watched as a tall man with thick gray hair and beard marched quickly down a tall set of cobblestone steps. He was wearing a chainmail vest and plate leggings, a long sword draped at his side. At the top of the steps was a temple of some sort, with open walls and pillars on each side of its four corners. Off to the side was a small cobblestone building with a single brown door. I took a couple steps back as he approached.
"Welcome to Eden's Gate, stranger. Have you a name?"
the man asked when I reached the back of the steps. A small, semi-transparent window appeared in front of me. "Please select your name by speaking it." I spent a moment to think about whether to use a pseudonym or not. But with the old man staring daggers at me, I figured I'd go with what I knew best. "Gunner," I said. "My name is Gunner Long." The window disappeared.
"A pleasure to meet you, Gunner Long."
"And you are?"
"Trainer,"
the man smiled.
"The name's Trainer."
"Just Trainer?"
"I'm afraid that's the only name I was given."
"Okay, nice to meet you," I said, shrugging. I turned my head from side to side. "Where exactly am I?"
"You're in the instanced tutorial of Eden's Gate."
"Instanced? I thought there were no instances in this game."
"Only the tutorial is instanced. Gotta make sure everyone knows basic functions before they begin their journey into the unknown. But don't worry, this shouldn't take long. Once you step through that gate," he said, indicating the gate behind me, "you'll never step foot into this tutorial again."
"Okay," I nodded. "Got it."
"How old are you, Gunner?"
"Please select your age by speaking it." "I'm 21, I replied.
"Very well, you're old enough to continue. Go ahead and check your status screen to confirm your details."
I lifted my hands and looked at my palms, not sure what I was looking for. "How do I do that?" Trainer grunted.
"Just think about your status screen appearing in front of you, or you can say, 'Show status screen,' if that's easier for you."
I pressed my lips tight and imagined a status screen appearing before me. To my surprise, it materialized with very little effort. "Gunner Long. Race, human. Level, 1. Progression, 0%. Title, none. Health, 100. Mana, 100. Stamina, 100. Strength, 10. Dexterity, 10. Intelligence, 10. Vitality, 10. Wisdom, 10. Willpower, 10. Charisma, 10. AR rating, 0. Resists, none. Traits, none. Primary skills, none. Combat skills, none. Magic skills, none.
"I guess it all seems right," I said as the screen disappeared from my sight. "Very well. For your first lesson..."
The old man kicked out a plated boot and connected with me directly in my chest. The blow was hard, unexpected, and I jolted backwards, tumbling roughly on the uneven cobblestones. Fire ripped through my chest as I struggled for air, and the uneven stones below me jutted against my skin. It was supposed to be a game, but the pain damn well felt a little too much like real life. What the hell? I looked down at my palms and noticed that they were scraped and blistered from the fall. I coughed hard, trying to catch my breath.
"Why'd you do that?" I sputtered.
The man paced forward and offered his hand, which I accepted.
"The first lesson is to know that while Eden's Gate may often seem beautiful and friendly, pain and death can come from unexpected places. Always be on your guard, Gunner."
"Well, fuck," I spat.
"You could have just said it."
I noticed that in the top left corner of my vision, three bars had appeared. The first was red, the center was blue, and the last one was green. The red bar was missing around 40% of its length, and I had played enough games to know that the bars signified my health, mana, and stamina. Another two kicks from the old man and I'd be dead before I even started.
"Shall we try again?" Trainer asked. "Lesson number one is..."
He kicked out his foot, but this time I was more aware of what was coming. As I reared back and his iron toe came lashing towards me, I sidestepped and shifted towards the right, not allowing any contact. A system alert appeared at the bottom of my screen, and the sound of drums echoed around me.
"Advancement. You have learned the skill Dodge. Why mitigate damage when you can avoid it altogether? Dodge is linked to the base stat Dexterity. Increase your dexterity to increase your chances to dodge."
"Excellent, Gunner. You're catching on quickly."
The man turned away from me and started walking up the stairs.
"Follow along now."
I followed him up the flight of stairs and noticed that my health bar wasn't replenishing right away. "How do I heal myself from the damage I took from you?"
"There are several ways you can heal yourself, Gunner. Magic-based healing from a spell or a magical item, physical healing from potions, salves, and bandages, or you can simply let your wounds heal over time. Sleeping, eating, and meditating accelerate the natural healing process."
"Do you have anything I can use? My hands are killing me."
"Such is life," Trainer said. "One of the purposes of this tutorial is to teach you that Eden's Gate is not just a game. It's a world filled with both pain and pleasure. But do not fret. You will be healed of your training wounds automatically when you're transferred to the main world."
"Not just a game. Yeah, okay," I replied. I had to admit that the world didn't feel at all like a game, aside from the prompts and screens. My hands were really throbbing, and Trainer's AI, artificial intelligence, seemed especially sophisticated. If I didn't know any better, I wouldn't be able to tell him from a real person. But I wasn't stupid. No matter how real everything felt, I was still logged into a game, and I'd eventually have to log back out and go on with my real life. At the top of the stairs and inside the temple area was a large table with a small dagger resting on top, and a large pile of crinkled up white papers were sitting off to the side.
"I'm sure you've noticed by now that you're a level one with only the most basic stats. As you earn experience, you'll gain levels which will increase your health, mana, and stamina pools. You'll also receive 3 attribute points per level that you can allocate to any stats you choose. Skills can only be increased by exercising them throughout the world or through special circumstances, but you'll also receive 1 free increase of your choice each time you level. Any questions?"
I scratched my head and visualized my stat screen again, causing it to instantly appear in front of me. I had been gaming long enough that I had a good idea of how most of them worked. Strength, intelligence, and stamina were pretty standard, but the others always had different meanings depending on the game I played. "What's vitality for?"
"Vitality increases your natural health and stamina regeneration, and ability to recover from effects such as poison and sickness, among other things."
"Wisdom?"
"Increases your mana regeneration rate, among other things."
"Willpower?"
"A high willpower is just that. How willing are you to fight through the pain? How stable will you be when you're on your last drop of health, mana, or stamina? How willing are you...
I've got it, I interrupted.
Trainer cleared his throat.
In most cases, you can focus on a particular statistic or skill to get more detailed information.
What's the difference between traits and skills?
Traits are important characteristics you may acquire, whether they be positive or negative. Skills are your abilities. It's difficult to explain, but I'm sure you'll understand as you continue on your journey.
Okay.
I shrugged and let the status screen disappear.
Go ahead and grab the dagger when you're ready to continue, Trainer said.
I did as he instructed, and another alert appeared in the bottom left of my screen. You've received Copper Training Dagger, 1-4 attack damage, durability, 10/10. Quality, average, rarity, common, weight, 0.2 kilograms. I rubbed my finger against the blade. The edges were a bit dull, and altogether it looked pretty unremarkable. But it was sharp enough to hurt something, and definitely felt real.
Now, let's give it a whirl, Trainer said.
He closed his eyes and started mumbling something.
Give it a whirl against what?
Trainer opened his eyes and lifted his hand towards a pile of crumpled paper on the ground.
Against that.
I felt a light breeze as the small pieces quickly started stacking together, one on top of another. Crinkled paper legs were soon visible, and then a paper torso, and finally crinkled paper arms and legs. The thin paper effigy that appeared tilted its head to the side and rattled as it treaded toward me.
Wow, that's freaking awesome, I blurted.
Look lively, Trainer said.
His words a reminder of the pain I felt when I got a boot to my chest. I wasn't sure what his paper man was capable of, but I didn't want to find out. I squeezed the hilt of the dagger with my right hand and squared off before the paper effigy was right on top of me. It swung its arm at my head, surprisingly slow, and I easily dodged its attack. Again, it swung its other arm, and this time, I whipped the dagger upwards, connecting with the base of what would have been its tricep. The effigy looked down as the tiny papers of its arm tumbled to the ground, but it didn't make a sound. It just turned back to me and started swinging its one remaining arm, stepping towards me each time I backed away. I felt a bit dizzy all of a sudden and paused to grab my head. It was as if something important happened far, far away. I couldn't pinpoint what it was, but I figured that perhaps the VR headset was acting up. It was a brand new system on launch day, after all. I shook my head, and the cobwebs subsided. The effigy raised its fist as high as it could and slammed it down towards me, but I rolled out of the way and ran. I was faster than the effigy, much faster, and I easily found its back. I flipped the dagger in my hand and thrust the point of the blade a few inches above the effigy's waist. And immediately, all the paper tumbled quietly to the ground.
You've gained 10 XP. Advancement. You have learned the skill Small Blades. A wise woman said, it's not the size of the tool that matters, it's the, you know. Small Blades is linked to the base stat Dexterity. Increase your dexterity to increase your affinity with Small Blades. Advancement. You have learned the skill Backstab. Strike swiftly and precisely. A well-placed tip can down even the largest of foes. Backstab is linked to the base stat Dexterity. Increase your dexterity to increase your damage with Backstab. 100% critical chance for surprise attacks.
Well done, Gunner, Trainer said. Well done.
I smirked and flipped the dagger in my hand. My confidence was already starting to grow, despite only defeating my first very weak enemy. The game was already proving to be fun, and it was so damn realistic. I couldn't get over how much I was loving it already.
I think that just about wraps up.
Whatever Trainer was telling me was cut off by an odd zipping sound, and everything seemed to pause around me. A large, semi-transparent window jumped in front of my eyes. System-wide broadcast. The text faded. And in its place was the vivid image of a man I recognized immediately as the CEO of Nexicon Inc. He had been all over business and technology websites and television, so anyone would recognize him, even if he happened to be covered in a long brown robe from the neck down and looked slightly younger than I remembered. In his holographic image, he was sitting in a large wooden desk with books lining the walls behind him.
"Greetings, players, or should I rather say, Eden's Gate residents," he began. "Thank you so much for being early adopters of the Nexicon VR. Today you've been given a gift. You've been given the chance to live your life in a wonderful world, filled with magic and adventure."
He cleared his throat, and his eyes darted to the desk and back up again. His voice turned flat.
"Your bodies are dead, and you no longer exist outside of this world."
"What?" I voiced out loud and couldn't help but smirk. "What is this guy smoking?"
"As of a few minutes ago, everyone plugged into the Nexicon VR has the chance to live forever. As you may already know, you can die in Eden's Gate. But if you do, you'll respawn wherever you were bound with some penalties. Immortality may be scary to some of you and exciting to others, but rest assured that I did think ahead for every circumstance. While you can live a very long and fruitful life here on Eden's Gate, if you ever actually wish to truly die, simply open up your settings and toggle aging to on. You'll grow old, similar to the way you would on Earth, and eventually die of natural causes. Alternatively, there is one area in Eden's Gate where permadeath has been enabled."
The camera panned out and showed an area of land that was covered in dark soil, barren trees, and a castle dangling on the side of a large mountain cliff before panning back in to Rupert Winston's face.
"If you ever wish to cease existing, a death in the Mastalands is final. I'd recommend everyone who wants to continue living avoid coming here."
Rupert Winston sighed.
"Part of me wants to apologize for bringing you here without your permission, but another part of me knows that no life on Earth could ever rival the experience you'll have here. I'm certain that many others will log in for the same chance that you already have."
He stood from his desk and placed his hands flat as he leaned forward, a cocky smirk on his face.
"Welcome to Eden's Gate. Welcome to your new life."
The image flashed away, and I was left standing there with my jaw slack.
"What the fuck?" I whispered to myself.
"Gunner?"
I turned around to see Trainer smiling at me.
"That about wraps things up."
"What the hell did that message mean?" I snapped. Trainer creased his brow.
"What message?"
"That freaking system message that just popped up. The guy in the robe."
"I didn't see anything."
He looked clueless. I snapped my lips together and gritted my teeth. I took a deep breath and focused on the idea of my settings window opening up, and just like my status page, a settings window appeared. I paid no attention to any of the options other than the log off button listed at the bottom of the menu and the counter at the top that said playtime 00:32. I had been in the game just a little more than 30 minutes, and Rachel was probably logging out now if she hadn't already. I tried to will myself to log out and then tried to press the translucent button with my finger, but nothing happened either time.
"Log off," I said loudly. "Sign out. End game. Shut down. Get me the fuck out of here."
Nothing happened, no matter what I said.
"What in the world are you yapping about, Gunner?"
Trainer asked.
"I'm trying to exit this damned game," I replied.
"Exit what?"
Trainer looked genuinely confused.
"I told you that Eden's Gate isn't just a game. Gunner, this is your home now."
Chapter 4. Month 1. Day 1. Year 1.
"You can't just stay in the tutorial," Trainer said.
I had been sitting on the stairs of the temple trying to figure out a way to log out for the past 15 minutes. Nothing seemed to work.
Maybe if you just tell me how to get out of here, I grumbled.
The way forward is through the gate, Trainer repeated for probably the fifth time.
I sighed and leaned back as I let my settings menu close in front of me. I wasn't sure what to make of the situation. I mean, Rupert Winston's message was loud and clear. I was supposedly dead, or at least dead outside of the world of Eden's Gate. But my brain couldn't process how that was really possible. There was no way that I was dead outside but still walking around in-game. Maybe it was just some sort of twisted launch day joke for early adopters. I wondered about Rachel. Was she also stuck in-game? Or had she already started drawing obscene pictures on my skin with Sharpies and filled my hand with shaving cream? I made a mental note to be very cautious after logging off. But then I considered, what if that system message wasn't a joke? What if I was really stuck in the game? I shook my head violently. There was no fucking way. No matter what the situation, there was no use in me sitting on the stairs in the tutorial and clicking a non-responsive log-off button over and over. If anything, the battery of the VR module would eventually drain, and I'd be dropped back into the real world. I sighed loudly and stood from the stairs. All right, let's just keep moving.
Back to your senses, I see.
Trainer walked to the top of the temple and pulled a satchel out from under the table.
This will get you started,
he said as he handed me the bag.
You've received basic torch, 0 to 1 attack damage, durability, 10 of 10, quality, average, rarity, common, weight, 0.3 kilograms. This item provides a basic light source when lit. You've received basic flint and steel, durability, 20 of 20, quality, average, rarity, common, weight, 0.1 kilograms. Combine with kindling or other flammables to start a campfire. You've received 2 small bandages, durability, 5 of 5, quality, average, rarity, common, weight, 0.1 kilograms, useful for healing light wounds. You've received small food ration, durability, 5 of 5, quality, average, rarity, common, weight, 0.2 kilograms.
Who knows what's in these tasteless things? All you know is that they keep you alive.
Thanks, I said.
Trainer placed his hands on my shoulder and started leading me down the stairs of the temple.
You'll learn most skills naturally as you progress, but magic is generally gained via finding scrolls, books, and learning them from other magic users.
Do I select a class at some point? Wizard, thief, warrior?
Everyone in Eden's Gate is unique. As you progress, you may earn titles based on your choices, achievements, or renown, but you can't simply select a class or title.
I nodded and followed, only being able to halfway pay attention as I worried about what was going on back home. When I arrived at the open gate outside of the temple, Trainer looked at me and smiled.
When you gain a level, your stats are restored, but only if you're not cursed, diseased, or poisoned. If you die, you'll awaken where you spawn, until you bind yourself to another location.
And how do I bind to what? Trainer smiled.
You'll know when the time comes.
I raised my eyebrows and shrugged. All right, then. Is there anything else I should know?
I can only tell you a few basics. You're a baby, fresh from the womb, and must learn about the world through your own discovery.
Well, thanks.
Good luck, Gunner.
Trainer turned and headed back to the temple, and I started past the gate that led to the distant forest. Just a few paces outside the gate, my vision started to blur, and a weightlessness took over my body. Everything soon went white, and then the white faded into a complete and total darkness.
You have spawned and must learn to survive on your own from this point. Good luck.
I no longer felt weightless, and the air around me was cold and musty. A high-pitched squeak echoed out above me. Great, a cave, I thought. Out of all the places I could have spawned, I had to be spawned underground. I felt something crawl over my ankle, and I kicked out instinctively, trying to rid myself of whatever it was. I lifted my foot and jerked to the side, bumping my head against something hard and rocky.
Fuck!
I grunted and grabbed my head. My voice echoed several times, and I heard several high-pitched squeaks answer my curse. Bats. At least 10 or more, I guessed. I took a deep breath and gathered myself, then felt around in my satchel for the flint and torch. My hands were no longer hurting, but the fact that my health bar was at about 95% meant that I had taken some damage just by hitting my head. I sat the torch on the ground and knocked my flint and steel together a few times over it until the sparks caught the tiny kindling that jutted crudely at the top. An ember appeared, and I blew hard until the ember puffed up into flames. I lifted the lit torch and inspected my surroundings. The cave was wide and circular, and directly behind me, large stalactites hung down, blocking all but a small crawl space that led to who knows where. There was only one other obvious passage, which was a few meters in front of me. But most importantly, the place was crawling with maggots. Hundreds of them were squirming all over the ground.
Gross!
I spat as I flicked my foot, trying to rid myself of the ones clinging to my shoes. Wherever I was, I wanted to get out as soon as possible. I bagged my flint and steel, pulled out my dagger, and started forward, cringing every time I heard the squishy noise of the tiny maggots bursting under my shoes. I followed the path ahead and found myself coughing as a whisk of air carrying the smell of something rotten suddenly caught my nostrils. What a wonderful place they decided to start me in, the toilet of Eden's Gate. There was a low screech, and before I could see where it was coming from, a maggot the size of a dog slithered quickly towards me, its puckered pink mouth opening and closing with each creep forward. I instinctively took a step back, but the maggot was surprisingly fast, and when it was right on top of me, I kicked it hard, sending it flying far back down the passage.
Nasty! I spat.
The sound of several low screeches cried out from the direction the maggot flew, and I immediately knew that I had made a mistake. Within seconds, three more giant maggots were slithering towards me, even more aggressively than the first. I guess it's on, then, bitches, I said as I gave both my dagger and torch a tighter grip. Even if I ran back, there was nowhere for me to go, unless I were to jump in the crawl space, which was probably home to even more disgusting creatures. When the first maggot closed in, I kicked it aside and swung the fire of my torch down towards the second. It screeched loudly and seemed stunned by the flames, but it was saved when the third giant maggot leapt up and sunk its teeth into my leg. I screamed and almost lost my balance as pain burst through my calf. I dropped the torch and swung my dagger frantically at the maggot that was latched onto me, and a yellow, pus-like substance spilled out of its body and dripped down my leg. It released its grip and fell to the ground, curling and screeching. The smell of the maggot juice would have made me vomit if it weren't for the pain and adrenaline pumping through me. I noticed that my health had already been brought down to 80%. And I kneeled, reaching for my fallen torch while simultaneously driving my dagger as hard as I could into the maggot that had earlier been stunned. Yellow liquid surged out of its mouth, and it immediately went limp. Before I could even stand, another giant maggot jumped on my arm and sank its teeth into my shoulder. I dropped my torch again and used my free hand to grab hold of the maggot, pulling it as hard as I could, ripping it from my skin. I pinned it against the wall as I drove my dagger into its body repeatedly until it stopped moving. The body of the gooey, mangled maggot fell to the cave floor, and I grabbed at my searing shoulder. Another low screech rang out, and I turned to see that the first maggot that I stabbed was still alive, crawling slowly towards me with liquid still seeping out of its body. I took a step forward, lifted my foot high, and slammed it down as hard as I physically could, causing yellow liquid to splat all over the cavern floor. You have gained 90 XP. A low, celebratory drumming sound echoed around me. Advancement. You have reached level 2 and gained 3 attribute points. To assign your attribute points, open your status page. You can also increase any of your known skills by 1 level. Choose wisely, as your choices cannot be undone.
You have gained 10 HP.
I should have been celebrating the increase, but the pain from the maggot bites was excruciating. I inspected the damage, and blood was dripping out of both my shoulder and my legs. My health bar was down to 50%, and below my status bars were two